pre-pandemic, I think there was a very big lean towards an investment in amenities. I mean, it was loud.
So how many of our clients let dogs come into the workplace? Welcome to this episode of Team Around the Table. I'm your host today, Brian Jacobs. Today we're going to be talking about workplace experience, and with me is Suzanne Mehta, who is our Chief Experience Officer at Cushman & Wakefield. Suzanne, you have a really unique background in the real estate industry. Why don't you talk a little bit about kind of how you ended up working for a real estate and facilities company?
Sure. What a fun journey. So I actually have a background in marketing and brand management. So I started my career right out of business school at L'Oreal, where I worked on the Lancôme and the Kiehl's brands, developing new products and services for them, and really thinking about the customer experience as it relates to retail and e-commerce spaces. And then moved on to do similar work for Hyatt, where I launched some brands for Hyatt, of course, now focusing on the experience of a guest in a hotel. And during my time at Hyatt, I got extremely lucky, and the company sponsored me to go to the Stanford D School, where I did a design thinking boot camp, really when design thinking was just emerging as a innovation process.
Right.
And that was a fantastic gift because it really only expanded my knowledge into how to build exceptional experiences, whether you're talking about digital experiences or brick and mortar experiences. And when Cushman kind of knocked on the door, the opportunity to build a workplace experience platform and service line sounded pretty foreign to me. But then really digging in, I noticed that there were just some pretty extreme and exciting parallels between thinking about how consumers fall in love with a brand and a product to how employees might fall in love with their employer.
Right.
And hopefully have a productive experience in an office, which isn't that different than a retail space or a hotel. And really coming to Cushman & Wakefield felt like a really wonderful culmination of those experiences kind of coming together to now think about how employees experience the workplace environment.
So most people in the real estate space think of real estate from the functional aspect, the building, the functional aspects. When we talk about operationalizing workplace experience, what does that actually mean? It's a buzzword.
Yeah.
You see it all the time in the industry, but
yeah.
What are we talking about?
So I think common knowledge would say we're talking about people with big smiles who welcome you, and hopefully people who have great customer service skills. That's all true, and I think that is really foundational. And we think about that, of course, deeply when we think about our talent pool and who we bring into the company. However, it's also about fantastic operations.
Yeah.
One of the things I learned being in hotels and thinking about retail spaces is the cross-section of how various teams operate to service people is so important. Really understanding the roles and responsibilities that make a office function and function well, and building the right processes, leveraging the right types of tools, all of that is really about building exceptional operations.
Yeah.
So when we think about operationalizing workplace experience, it's not just about the talent and the people and the fantastic soft skills, but it's also about the right processes.
So Suzanne, in facility management, people think about that maintaining the equipment, they think about cleaning the space, just the built environment. A workplace experience, what are we talking about? Whose experience, and what are we actually doing?
Yeah, we do a fantastic job of maintaining space, equipment. We talk about assets, we talk about buildings, and of course that is foundational to what we do. We are now really pivoting and expanding the conversation to also focus on the people in the buildings, the employees of occupiers. Back in the pre-pandemic days, was heavily focused on making sure we had the right amenities.
Right.
Do we have the right employee-based apps and tools and technology? While those things might still be important, the conversation now is really about how do we take care of people when they're in the office? How do we help them be productive? How do we make sure that they feel like they've got the right resources for the support that they need? Whether that's a receptionist, a community manager, a facility manager. We're really talking now about all the people that service these offices and what are they doing to make sure that they can help people feel very productive.
Right. And is that a shift in the industry? I mean, is the industry thinking that way?
I think now, okay. In particular. If we had asked that same question maybe 5 years ago, it's felt like a nice to have
right.
is a great workplace experience. And now it feels like a must have right. is a great workplace experience. And so for us to be able to provide that to our clients via our facilities management practice and not via a separate yeah. standalone program, I think is very valuable.
And as a matter of fact, companies aren't calling it facility management anymore. They're calling
it
workplace experience. So you've done this and set up these programs for largest banks in the world, largest tech companies in the world. What are some of the things that you learned that helped those companies do this right, getting yeah. everybody back to the office? And then what are some things that people did wrong?
Yeah. When we think about workplace experience, it really should reinforce a company culture. So okay. across the board, a big learning has always been when we think about building a program for an occupier client, what is their mission, their values, their principles? Mm-hmm. What are they driving to the talent marketplace when they think about recruiting their own talent? And how can their workplace experience support yeah. those same values and principles? So we look to really first understand that from clients and then build a plan of action that really brings the right types of behaviors into the office and the services leverage. All of those great things that hopefully are part of the culture. The other kind of learning I think that's rang true is having the right talent is so, so important. We're not just talking about talent with exceptional empathy and communication skills. Of course, when we think workplace hospitality, those things are important.
Yeah.
But we're also talking about people who are comfortable thinking about how the functioning of the office relates back to their own job.
Okay.
So how do they interact with the janitor? How do they interact with security? And how can they be part of one team, really? Okay. So we look for people who have operational savvy as well as exceptional soft skills. Those are probably the two kind of biggest learnings. And then, as we all know, we are in a world of hybrid work where flexible work has just really taken over in most cases. So our clients really have been concerned with the idea that if employees aren't doing work in the office and they're doing work elsewhere, are they connected to company culture? Mm-hmm. So a lot of our focus and conversations right now is helping them solve that pain point. Human resources and real estate teams are closely connected. And so this idea of if employees are working elsewhere, do they feel our culture? Are they part of it? Are they engaged in our company?
Right.
And they're looking oftentimes to their real estate provider to help them better drive their culture in their workplace. So that's really, I think, the high-level problem we've
why
been looking
estate?
To solve.
I mean, why isn't it just an HR problem? Why do they look to the real estate provider to talk about it?
Yeah, I think the real estate provider really does control so much of that experience and partners so often with human resources. It's truly a partnership. I think that there are truly both seats at the table.
Right.
And the way that we manage a facility and the way that we take care of people when they're in the building really will reflect on how people feel engaged.
Yeah. So let's get granular for a second. Hybrid, we work in hybrid world. Nobody's in the same place for 5 days a week. What are the things that have to happen to make that a successful and productive environment for the worker? Mm-hmm. What are the things we tell our clients they need to do to improve that experience mm-hmm. for the hybrid worker?
Yeah, I think they need to ensure that they have the right talent in the right spaces at
okay.
the right times. That's very important. We have really worked a lot with our clients in the past couple of years in particular with doing what we say is follow the occupancy.
Yeah.
We talk a lot about occupancy in our business and, you know, what are the numbers and making sure that we really understand where the traffic is
yeah.
in the office. And one of the things that we've been doing of recent is redesigning our models and our programs to say, how do we follow the occupancy? Let's figure out what spaces are meaningful. Let's not staff every space because people aren't using something, we need to redeploy those resources to the right spots. And that very tactically, I think, is a very quick answer to ensuring that you're providing a great experience.
You've done some studies for some really big companies on how they change out their experience to get people back into the office and then to allow them to have a more productive workplace. Some of those consulting studies, what did you learn? What were the insights that you spotted? What stood out? What were the what was surprising from that?
We did do this fantastic kind of global reception project for a big technology company, which is the one you're referring to. And the ask was, help us understand the future of reception.
Yeah.
How can we create a reception experience that is globally applicable and consistent and reflects our brand?
Yeah.
And we had lots of interesting kind of nuggets that we needed to solve there. What about unmanned lobbies?
Right.
How do you create a great experience if there's no receptionist?
Right.
And there were some really good learnings there that were really about small changes sometimes, and also very much focused on, again, the operations of what happens when someone is before they even get to the building. Mm-hmm. And what happens in an interaction when someone leaves the reception area. And that really does influence the full front of house experience. It's not just about that one point of contact, but it can also be what happens before you even get there.
Right. So why is this strategic? I mean, this sounds very tactical. It's reception is something that even in the real estate space, people think, what? It's an afterthought a lot of times. But it's actually more strategic than it appears, right?
Because our occupier clients are hosting guests, they're hosting their own clients, they're hosting executives, and that welcome experience is not only important for the employee, but it's also really important for all of those people that don't work for the company. Yeah. It really is your first impression. I would say another learning, and I'm curious to see if you would agree with this, is there are occupiers right now that are saying, you know, we can't afford to have all these FTEs and all these jobs. So how can we amplify an experience and make it exceptional without having community managers? Is that an opportunity for us, and how can we do that? And I think at Cushman—
So like use software? Is there a tech solution that will do it, like a software solution that could improve the experience by itself without people?
I think sometimes there is. There was a time when we all thought that was the answer.
Right.
We all thought it would be some magical app.
Right.
Put it in the hands of employees. You don't need people. And we'll be able to use that app to do anything and everything under the sun in the office. But I think the reality is we can't cut people out completely. But what we can do is hopefully train people in a new way, bring new skills to the table with the staff that we do have. And at Cushman, we've really overinvested in how we train people.
Yeah. My own bias is that there's no technology that'll solve the problem. It's about the people. You know, delivering the service and working with their coworkers to improve the experience. So in our division at Cushman, we have 9,000 employees. Most of those employees have come from either a finance and real estate, formal training in finance and real estate, or construction, or the building trades. How do you train them to be more customer focused?
Yeah. We have a really strong point of view at Cushman, as you know, that great customer service doesn't just come from hospitality people.
Right.
It really should be anyone that is at the front line and interacting with our clients' employees in their space. So what we've done is we've employed a pretty robust approach to providing hospitality training to all frontline employees.
Okay.
The first is we leverage a best-in-class hotel company, the Ritz-Carlton Leadership Center, and they really help us bring fantastic keynotes and workshops to frontline employees to really provide inspiration and motivation to say, this is the baseline of expectation of how we communicate and treat people. And the second is kind of finding ways to keep all of that alive. So we've created a proprietary training program. We call it our customer care training program. And it is essentially a toolkit of role play exercises, discussion guides, all different mediums, because we know people learn in different ways.
Right.
So while our workshops and our keynotes with Ritz-Carlton kind of provide us with a kickoff opportunity, we then keep all of that great spirit alive through weekly, monthly, quarterly trainings done at the account level with our clients.
So what do our clients that get this right, what do they do well as the end user and client to make enable this?
One of the things I think that our clients who really nail workplace experience seem to be doing well is they are extremely collaborative and they're not afraid to get it wrong sometimes. Right. Sometimes we are developing solutions for clients that is very out of the box and non-standard and truly bespoke, and they're willing to try different approaches, pilot with us, prototype with us, various models, and see what sticks and what makes the most sense. And we've been able to do that, particularly with one of our healthcare clients, where we built a program for them before the pandemic. Yeah. It was extremely successful. Then everyone started working from home. We completely redesigned the program for them to be meaningful in a post-pandemic world where people were working in a hybrid fashion. And they were willing to pilot different initiatives and test things out with us such that we could really get it right for them. And that flexibility, open communication and collaboration, I think, really allows us to develop something more meaningful.
So, Suzanne, what would you leave the audience with? What's the key takeaway that you would want everybody to know?
I think I'd want everyone to remember that what happens in your workplace environment can really be an enabler to talent engagement and retention.
Okay.
And so real estate can play a fantastic role in that. And I think particularly now, as we think about the new world that we all live in,
right,
and keeping people hopefully feeling productive in the office, this is a role that real estate and HR can really partner on.
Hey, Suzanne, thanks for talking with me today.
Thanks, Brian.
And thanks for joining Team Around the Table.